Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date, is Friday, September 1st. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 152, paragraph 2, and, 151, paragraph 2. And it begins with, the less people tolerated us, and it ends with, unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. So today's readers are Davlin E. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, Lorraine N. will read our text for us and share on it, and Chanel T. and Julie E. B. Carla C. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20590. That's 20,590. Okay, and this morning, 9 a.m., I'm sorry, this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, September 1st, is 20592, 20,592, COA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Davlin E. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Davlin E., and I am a compulsive overeater living in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Davlin E. And I'll now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovering in Georgia. The 12 traditions, 1, Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your shares to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 151, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Lorraine N. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. The less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew from society, from life itself. As we became subjects of King Alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm, the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. It thickened, ever becoming blacker. Some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily, we did. Then would come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen: terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. Oh boy, what a powerful, powerful paragraph. And it takes me right back to my final binge about a week before I was led to visions. My sordid place was always my own home, sadly. I didn't go out seeking sordid places to eat in. I did most of my compulsive eating and binging in the dark, in my home, at night. And it was hell. And that final binge, I was so sick. I mean, but it was no different than many, many hundreds of binges just like it before. But I was 68 years old. I ended up in the ER one time from compulsive overeating. And it was just killing me. It's true. I mean, it progresses. And it was just
I just felt like this big black blob in a big black room, and crying. I was eating. I couldn't stop eating. And I did call someone in my face-to-face group and at least reached out and told someone, I just cannot stop eating. And then a week later, I was led to visions. Thank God. And I don't have to live with the hideous four horsemen anymore. And if there's newcomers out there in that place, and I know there are because that's where we go, and there is a solution. You know, just don't leave this phone line. Hang on for dear life. Keep listening. And it can happen. I have been at my normal body weight for 2 years now, and it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. I've been a compulsive eater from the day I was born, and I was overweight my whole life. And today I maintain a normal average body weight. So I just pray that whoever's out there in this condition will find their way to this solution and surrender to it. That's what I finally just surrendered and did what the book suggests to the best of my ability. Not perfectly, but I did it, and I'm in this book every day. I'm on this line every day. I sponsor every day, and I have a sponsor. So it's not, I was going to say it's not that hard, but it is. It's not easy, but it can be done. If this compulsive eater can do it, anyone can. So I'm happy to talk to anyone. I'm on the list on the website, and my name's Lorraine N. I'm in Oregon. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N., for kicking us off so powerfully. So that we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared on a meeting in the last 3 days, then you're welcome to press star one to unmute, give me your name, and we'll do a lineup to share.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Jeff A.
California. Jeff A. After Bill Jeff. C. Bill C. Who else would like to share on page 151, paragraph 2? Well, I'm sure we'll be inspired by these shares by Bruce E., Jeff A., and Jill C. So please share with us, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody serving down the line. Thanks, Lorraine, for that introduction to this, and a tremendous paragraph. Well, I've been there, and I have faced those four horsemen and lived in that realm of king food. It says here, as we became subjects of king alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm and chilling vapor, loneliness settled up. So it was, for me, it was kind of like a separate kingdom to live in, a separate place to live. It removed me from the current of life, from the reality of life, and it put me in a whole nother place. You know, this king food, you know, it was just a mad place to live. And I withdrew, it says here, the less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew. They didn't so much tolerate me less, I tolerated them less, you know. I just didn't want to be around other people. You know, I just wanted to eat, just wanted to spend my time eating. And it's just a crazy place to be and a crazy life to live. And so it says some of us sought out sordid places hoping to find understanding and companion. You know, I sought out more food is what I did. You know, I mean, it just, the food, some food didn't work, so maybe more food will work, maybe more food. And it made it all worse and worse. And then it says here, then would come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. So It's where I was, you know, and where I lived. And the frustration was with just with life, that I couldn't make life work. You know, with all that food, I couldn't make life work. And it was despairing. And unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. I mean, I sure understand. I'm sure others understand that terror, you know, that bewilderment, just a bad place to live. So I went to this is 30 some years ago. I went to a workshop, just a 1 or 2, 3 hour workshop. And a woman talked about food addiction. I didn't know. I thought she was going to talk about alcohol addiction. I didn't know.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And it was a nurse practitioner that worked with food addiction. And she mentioned it. They talked about it. And I talked to her and I got into OA. And man, things got better. And things are tremendous today. So I'm recovered food addict. I'm in Fort Myers. My name is Bruce. And I'd welcome a call. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Jeff A., you're up next, followed by Jill C.
Hi, my name is Jeff A., compulsive food behaviorist person. I've had a miracle, too. I was in this program for 1.5 years, and I had 2 different sponsors. And I'm sure they're wonderful, or if they were. But the problem was is they both were willing to say that they're sober when they're not, per, I think, Vision for You. Well, I do sober eating. The problem for me was I loved a certain kind of food. And in the last few months, I go to the store and at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, tell myself that I'd have one, you know, candy, and then I'd have the whole week figured out, and so I'd do this one, and then the next day I'd do another one, and the next, right? And by the morning, I had eaten everything. Or I'd eaten most of it, but not all of it. And I thought, and I'd have this terrible thing. It's like, how in the world did I do this? And I thought, well, I might as well finish up. And then the next day, during the next day, I went and got more. And that's when I really, it's like, oh my gosh, this program really does sadly work. I mean, my food behavior is terrible. And then the last night, I ate in a restaurant. I was full. I didn't do dessert. But then I was doing a game at the TV and was still at the restaurant. And I started thinking, well, I have 2 more hours. Why don't I get some dessert and take it home? And so I did, and eventually I ended up eating, well, I had a little bit of the dessert and then a little bit more. Then I ended eating it all, and I wasn't hungry, but I ate it all anyways. And that's when I realized, you know, after so many times of having this problem, suddenly it just hit me. Oh my gosh, I can't be doing that ever again. And I couldn't figure out what to do. So then I went to sober eating. This guy, he's in California. He is in this part of California. It's my
gentle reminder.
Okay. In any case, I said, can you help me? And he said, no, I only do 100 pounders. And I've never had that kind of, it's only 60 pounds at most. And I said, please, please, please help me. He said, okay, but you're going to give up. And I go, well, that's just, I don't know, I'm going to try. So it's been 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, over 11 months, one meal at a time. and my life is so much better, and I love life. I enjoy life, and I hurt too, but that's separate. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Jeff A. Okay, Jill C. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page 151, paragraph 2. It starts with the less people tolerated us, and it ends with unhappy drinkers or eaters who read this page will understand. So please share with us, Jill C.
Hi, this is Jill C. I'm in Northern California. I'm excited to share. I just completed the 12 steps, and as someone says, we never really complete it because we just keep going through the steps, but it has been about a little over 90 days that I am abstinent eating and feeling great. And so when I see this paragraph, I think of the loneliness. I was just talking about this with my sponsor last night, that, you know, when I had a relapse, I was going to the store every night, and every morning I'd say, you know what, let's not do that again today. And then because I wasn't recovered, I didn't understand about the emotional buildup. At the end of the day, I'm feeling like I just need relief. I need something. And so I would go to the store, but I would have to pick the stores because I didn't want to keep going to the same one over and over. And then, you know, there's all these food delivery services. So I thought, well, that's great. Go to a couple stores and get this food delivery service. And, you know, it did make me feel lonely because there was this anxiety, like, I need the food to relate. And then afterwards, I felt so much shame. And so I didn't want to go out and be with friends. I just wanted to be at home. And if I hadn't figured out the, you know, if I hadn't settled my emotions, which I didn't really know how to, even if I was social with good friends, I still wanted to go home and just kind of binge a little bit because I needed some relief. So this is a paragraph where it is talking about the dark days, but there is so much hope in this program, just so much hope. And literally, I just said last night, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And I always heard that and thought, oh, really? Like, they don't know. Really? Are you sure it's not me? I didn't hear my exact story. But seriously, I'm sitting here thinking, this is so true. So if you're on the line and you're not yet sure about this program or anything, just keep coming back. Make some calls. Put your name out there and just dive in. It's great. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Bill C. So true. Okay, though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, then please press star one to unmute, and we'd love to hear your comments on this paragraph.
Mary L.
Janice K.
Roz G.
Janice K, Roz G,
Dawn B,
and Ellen B,
Dawn B.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dawn B. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. I've got Mary L, Janice K, Roz G, Dawn B. Anybody else?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G. Last call. Okay, we've got Mary L, Janice K, Roz G, Dawn B, and Vanessa G. If you're not Mary L, please press star one to mute your phone, and Mary L, please share with us.
Hi, Mary L here, recovering in my first step again, and I am happy to be here. What a beautifully written paragraph, The Hideous Four Horsemen. Though terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair seems a bit dramatic when I'm feeling okay, when I'm in the solution, but I don't want to forget them. I can easily recall shame and remorse, and then relief, the 8 seconds of relief, as, you know, quoting someone else in program who says that a lot, and then the shame and remorse, and then relief, 8 seconds or so, and then the cycle. So I don't want to forget that. And it is lonely having six secrets of binging and purging, and but looking okay on the outside. So, you know, I knew I had the secret, and I am just so grateful to people who have kept coming back and have shared their stories of recovery, and that things got better, and these hideous four horsemen, you know, were put in their place, not to be forgotten, but they don't have to be felt every day, and because we have another solution. And I am one of those older women who, you know, for 25 years, I had some recovery and then off and then back on, and people who I didn't want to proceed into any more senior years with that monkey on my back. So thank you, everyone who has come back and inspired me and recovered, and I'm glad to be among you. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, up next we have Janice Kay, followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Janice.
This is Janice Kay in Oregon. And what stands out to me in this paragraph are, this is where we name the four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. I know where I started, and I know I don't want to go back. I know life now is so much better than it used to be, and I know there is hope. Wherever you started, because it can get better. When we're around long enough, if you're around long enough, you'll hear this. The mind is like a bad neighborhood. Don't go there after dark or alone. And I think that's what they mean. The sorted place I go is my own mind, unattended. It's a very sad place. The 12 steps are the way out. The steps keep me moving. The thing I fear more than anything, I think, right now is not fear, it's stagnation. Because if I fail to grow in effectiveness, then I fail to grow. And if with us, failure is not. Failure to be of service, to work steps 10 through 12, is not an option. I look at this, it's that king coal, king alcohol becomes king sugar, king candy corn. They're not nice people. Moving, one thing I do want to say is in the spiritual realm, I have heard that every step up is also a step deeper into ourselves. Because we learn more, we see more. Eventually, what I learn is my higher power is so big. It's amazing. But take the climb, take the steps, do the work, and don't stop moving up. Okay, thank you for listening, my task.
Thank you very, very much, Janice Kay. Roz G, you're up next, followed by Don B.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for your service. And my name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the city, the county of Los Angeles. And, you know, the religion that I practice is Christianity, and it always has been. In my church before program, I could never admit my feelings of loneliness and an awful awakening and terror and bewilderment and frustration and despair because the people I were around or the preaching that I was under was would have told me that I don't have enough faith, and I felt very guilty about that. And you know, like other shares, you know, there was one time where I was working in a theater, selling cookies and wine during intermission, and you know, the workers got to keep what was, you know, whatever was left over. And I would eat the chocolate chip cookies. I'd take the brownies home to my kids and take the chocolate chip cookies and sit in my car in the parking lot in the dark and eat them. How lonely is that? And yeah, and then I felt like crap, all these things after I ate that. And I wasn't in program, and I couldn't admit to my church friends how I was feeling because I felt they would feel as though I'd feel judged. I was just in a suck place. And I'm so grateful that I went to Overeaters Anonymous. I was able to go in meetings, and ladies would shake their heads in like, you know, up and down and look at me with the, you know, no crosstalk ethic there. And I could just, you know, get it all out. I didn't have Big Book back then, but I sure had a place to talk about my feelings. And then, you know, when I got Big Book recovery, I have a place where I can talk about my feelings. But, you know, only for so long is that going to really help. The solution is here in the book. But I do understand being an unhappy eater and the faith that I was in, I just couldn't get recovery there. And I was seeking their approval. I couldn't get it. Today, I have the Big Book. I have my religion. I have a place where I can come and share my feelings. And it's wonderful. So I'm grateful that I have these meetings, that I have a sponsor, that I sponsor others, and that I still have feelings today. Sometimes they're lonely. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're amazing. But I have a place to share it all. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Okay, up next we have Dawn B. followed by Vanessa G. Please share with us, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. To me, this paragraph speaks of the nightmare life of compulsive overeating and just what a waste. So many years, decades of my life has been lost in this realm of incredible loneliness, despair, self-loathing, self-hate. It's like a walking dead situation. And it took me in the rooms almost 35 years before it just hit me. The realization that this is absolutely life or death for me. I will die in this disease, and I have nothing ahead to look forward to in life but a tremendous amount of pain, a tremendous amount of unnecessary suffering, and an early death. That's what I'm welcoming into my life if I continued on the road that I was on. And it just finally, just the realization right in front of my face that this is life or death. And I have to clearly identify my alcoholic foods and behaviors and put them down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver and work this like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. And that's what I did. That was 11 years ago. I'm down over 120 pounds from my top weight. And the miracle is I'm abstaining and doing so happily. So the food isn't calling to me. It's not a struggle. I'm not white knuckling it. It's simply the most loving thing I can possibly do for myself. And it's just a beautiful way of life. I feel 20 years younger. My brain works better. I've given up my seasonal pass to the emotional roller coaster. It's just a beautiful way of life. And I'm also a mother. I have 3 young adults with autism. Two significantly impacted. The 2 that are higher functioning also have mental illness. My husband is on a feeding tube, a cancer survivor. He's a cancer survivor with chronic ongoing health issues. But the truth of the matter is, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps and through the relationship with my higher power developed as a result. And it is a miracle. And if I can do it after 35 years of failure, anyone can do it. It's here for you. Grab hold. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Dawn B. Okay, Vanessa G is up next, and then we're going to take a few more shares on the chapter In a Vision for You, page 151, paragraph 2, begins with the less people tolerated us and ends with unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. Please share with us, Vanessa G.
Thank you. This is Vanessa G, recovered in New Mexico. Last night, I went to a gathering of friends. We get together and we study spiritual concepts. It's not a 12-step meeting, but, you know, we talk about our 12-step recovery there. And as I walked out of the meeting, one of my fellows from that meeting was walking behind me and made a comment on my new car and my new body and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, that something about it changing my life. And I said, well, those aren't the things that changed my life. And he says, oh, I know. And as he walked away, he said something. And I said, what? And then he was still walking and I heard him say, OA. And, you know, I didn't realize that people who aren't in the program are also watching me and seeing the change in my life. And, you know, I just remember the loneliness that I used to feel. You know, what stands out to me so much in this paragraph is that complete and utter loneliness that only an addict can feel. That emptiness, that no place to turn feeling, that, you know, anything would be better than living with that big hole in the soul. And having it replaced, you know, by a higher power, which is actually what I was thinking when I, you know, said, you know, it wasn't the material things or, you know, my new physical body that has changed my life. I mean, it's contributed, but at the same time, what has really replaced these feelings of loneliness is the higher power. And there's one other thing that I want to mention before I finish my share, is that, you know, I never even considered the fact that what I was putting in my body was actually causing chemical reactions that I experienced as emotions. I experienced pleasurable emotions from, you know, sugar and flour. And at the end, I experienced the four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. I had been taught that my thoughts created my emotions. And so I blamed my thoughts, and I was always trying to work on my thoughts. But I never left room for the fact that certain foods were mind-altering, mood-altering substances in my body because I have an allergy. And so I think that's part of the discussion. And I appreciate being here. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Vanessa G. Though we do value everybody's experience and strength, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day that or as others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. We have time for about three, possibly four, but three more shares for sure.
Sonia S. from Philadelphia, PA.
I heard Sonia.
Joanne P.
Rebel,
you mean Dr.
K? I
Alex
heard
K.
Joanne P. and Alex K.
N-E-L-C.
And maybe
Rebel
room
R.
for N-E-L-C. I'm so sorry that we didn't. I'm so sorry we don't have time for everybody, but I did hear Sonia, I heard Joanne P., I heard Alexis F., and I heard Penny LC, and I think there'll be time for Penny, but we'll have to see how that goes. So Sonia, would you please share with us, and if you're not Sonia, please press star one to mute. Thank you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Hi, this is Sonia S., and I am from Philadelphia, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater, and I am actually at an all-time low. I am experiencing the hideous four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair right now. I am also going through chemotherapy. My husband just shaved my head last night, and now I'm bald, and it's been incredibly difficult. And someone just shared how certain foods are very mood altering. And yes, I have had many emotional buildups in the past week and have eaten my allergic foods. And I'm reminded that, you know, when you hit bottom, the only place to go is up. And I learned that in AA, being 17 years sober. But I am, one thing that has remained consistent since my diagnosis, April 1st, stage one breast cancer, is vision. I do vision every single day. And this particular vision this morning has really been so amazing because I heard everything that I needed to hear. Hearing people's stories, experience strength and hope, and it gives me so much hope. And I do believe in God and a higher power, and I do believe that God, loves me, and I'm here for a reason, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sonia S. Sorry about your diagnosis and all you're going through. Joanne P., you are up next, followed by Alexis F.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater in recovery. For 17 months yesterday, this paragraph reminds me of where I was when I found OA, and my goodness, the loneliness. It's just a gentle reminder of how desperate I was and how thankful I am for being here and for all of you and for the understanding of my disease and the terror and the bewilderment, the frustration that I felt most of my life, really just battling, fighting everything and everyone, and noticing the progression and how it was starting to affect my health and everything. So I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be in constant contact with my higher power. I'm so thankful for the humble steps that have kept me sane, that have changed my life. And it just seems like the longer I go in recovery, the more I understand. And I do embrace and celebrate all of you and our 12 steps and our higher power and my sponsor for keeping me on the straight. I know that I will never stop growing in recovery. It amazes me, but it's an adventure. And we're never going to be done. So I'm just thankful to be here and hope that, you know, all of you will, I pray for everyone really who is still suffering, that they will stay until the miracle happens. That's all I have. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me share. And thanks.
Thank you very much, Joanne P. Alexis F., you are up next.
Yes, thank you for your service. My problem goes a little deeper than just food itself. I've had a cancer four times and was operated on it four times. I've had mental illness for 47 years. I gave up 4 to 5 packs of cigarettes a day 15 years ago. And I haven't been in a hospital for 9 years. And I was compulsively overeating, just shoving it in my mouth to get some calm and peace. And what my biggest binge food was ice cream, and I haven't had it in 8 years and 2 months. And I ate it every day of my life. And I went to a special store where I bought it. Excuse me. And that was the biggest downfall. I started that before I started any of my other addictions. And I also had a problem with alcohol. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I was a hard drinker. And God has relieved me of all of these things. And it's not that I deserved it. Believe me, I didn't deserve him to give me that much grace or that much mercy. But it's because he's a good God, and it's because I'm one of his children, and I hope everyone here realizes that they're God's children. And, you know, like the good father, he wants what's best for us. And, you know, sometimes our prayers are answered and sometimes they're not. And it's just the way it goes. We don't know why or where things are going to happen. So, good luck to everybody, especially the beginners, and have hope. My sponsor always emphasized never leave the program because, you know, if you do, it's a deadly disease. And, you know, you have no more hope if you leave the program. So I encourage everybody to stay here and get the help that they need. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And, Penny Elsie, I'm so sorry that we won't have time for you today. We need to move on with the meeting, but hope you have an opportunity to share your thoughts with someone else. Okay, so we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Janelle T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only through. Keep you until then.
Yes, hi, thank you. This is Chanel T. I am a grateful recovered compulsive eater in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you, Pastor.